puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And let's return to Gordon Goldsboro, one of the most popular features on the Weekend Morning Show with Abandoned Manitoba. Hi, Gordon. Welcome back.
Good morning, Terry.
Now, you were hinting last week about flower or flowers. What are you on about?
Well, you catch on too fast, Terry. You realize I have a talent for misdirection. I was, of course, not referring to flower as in what you'd hold in a bouquet, but in fact what you get when you grind up grain and form powder that we use, of course, in baking.
So what kind of facility are we talking about?
We are talking about what is believed to be the oldest grain mill in Western Canada at the village of Homefield.
Okay. And Homefield is where, remind me?
It's about 9 miles southeast of Killarney, Manitoba.
Oh, okay. So out in the southwest part of the province.
Indeed.
Right. And so what's this thing look like?
Well, it's a very elaborate facility. Actually, quite a lot of it is made out of stone. It goes back to the 1870s when a couple of brothers from Ontario arrived here, the Harrisons, and they built a flour mill and a sawmill at the village of Wakapa. Now, you won't find anything on the map anymore. Wakapa is basically gone. Basically, this is because Wakapa was bypassed by the railway. And, of course, there were a lot of places that were in this fate. The railway missed the town, and so they basically – the town withered and died. So the Harrisons then moved their mill to Killarney. There was apparently already some competition there, though, so they found that they weren't really doing as well as they had hoped. So they instead moved to Homefield, which, say, is about 9 miles away. So in 1897, they built their mill in the village of Homefield. And it's a nice little one-story building, sort of a stone structure, quite an elaborate one. And that's where they started the milling business.
How long did the milling business last?
100 years, actually, almost to the day, perhaps 100 years. The Harrisons operated, the two original brothers that ran it. Their son ran it. Their son was actually quite prominent. He was an MLA from that area for quite a number of years. He was even the speaker of the legislature for a few years. And then when he sort of retired, his two sons took over it. They have an interesting history as well. These two sons were both, of course, went through the mill. They probably worked in the mill as kids. They literally went through the mill. They worked through the mill through their teen years. They put themselves apparently through university, put themselves through law school even. They afterwards practiced as lawyers at Killarney for a number of years, but then decided, I guess, milling was in their blood. So they gave up the law practice, gave up being lawyers, and went back to milling full time.
What led to the end of the operation?
Well, I think probably just the reality that the economics of milling was changing. But of course, when you think about when this facility first started, most of the actual use of the flour that they would have ground would have been local. You know, the local farmers would bring their grain in. Apparently, the rule was that for every 100 pounds of flour you went away with, you gave the miller 3.8 bushels of grain. So in other words, the miller kept some of the grain, and then they would mill that and presumably sell that or ship that or whatever. Well, by the time we get into the late 20th century, most farmers found that they could do better by shipping their grain far away. And the local demand, I think, was less because simply, you know, the need for flour was smaller, families were smaller. Just the economics of transportation had changed so that it was now easier to transport your grain to a larger market. So they say the demand for local flour was getting smaller. So I think they just saw the writing on the wall. Perhaps the members of the family just didn't see a future in milling, so they just packed it up. November of 97 is, I think, when the mill finally closed.
That recently?
Yeah.
Okay. Under what brand name did they sell their flour?
Yeah, I was interested in that too. I came across a reference to Turtle Mountain Made as the brand in which they sold their flour.
I love it. That is so great. So what actually went on in their mill to turn grain into flour?
Mm-hmm. Well, the facility there is quite elaborate. There actually is there are two large grain elevators on the site, and that's where, they would store the grain in preparation for milling it. And then they had the mill building itself. And there, apparently, they had some large steel rollers. And the idea was these rollers, two of them would converge together. It came close together. And then as the grain would fall between these rollers, of course, it would be fairly large and the rollers fairly small, and it would literally just crush the grain between it. Larger particles would fall through, and then they would go through a series of sifters that would sort out things like the bran. So, of course, the bran would be things we would use for other purposes. They would sort out maybe the germ. In in some cases, they would, some millers anyway, would keep out the germ, and others would keep it intact, and then you'd get sort of whole wheat flour, and that's what you would bag up.
They didn't have what we classically think as mill stones, the big round ones that grind together.
No, I'm told that they used these steel rollers instead.
Are they still there in the mill?
No, I'm told that there is a member of the Harrison family still living in Holmfield who offers tours. In fact, last fall they had a tour of the mill, and I was desperate to go out and attend it. Unfortunately, it just worked out. I couldn't make it that weekend. So I'm hoping that they will do it again, that they will have another opportunity to see this facility, because it's been shut down now for almost two decades. But I'm told that the milling machinery, going back right to the 1890s, is still intact inside, and I'd love to see it. In fact, I'm told that it still is capable of operating, so I'd love to see that too.
So if anyone wants to get into the milling business.
There you go. There's an opportunity for someone.
All right. Gordon, thanks for this today. What are you planning for next week?
Well, next week I think we're going to change the theme a little bit. We're going to go visit an abandoned fur trade post in western Manitoba that has the same name as a major Winnipeg street.
Okay, I can't guess on that one. Okay, Gordon, thanks so much. See you next week.
You're welcome, Terry.
Bye for now. Bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.